scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left.
Off the glass, in left corner to Aguila. Aguila to the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by Aguila. Rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts.
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers.
Well, welcome to Penticton and welcome to the South Okanagan Event Center. Flames Talk is back at the Young Stars Classic in the Okanagan, and we've got a busy hour coming up for you. Welcome to it. Steinberg and Aaron Vickers is back with us on Flames Talk as well. Vix has made the drive out to the South Okanagan as well. Hello, Vixie.
Hello, buddy. It feels like it's been a little bit of a minute, and that would have given me a lot of time to say something clever back to you, but nothing. You know, I'm just so glad to be back in your presence that I think we should celebrate, maybe not toss out a sarcastic comment, and just enjoy this beautiful facility in this beautiful town of Penticton.
You've had a lot of my presence on this Thursday. It is Thursday, September 12th. Steinberg Vickers on the Sports Drive from Penticton. Sports Drive brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. So here's how things work at the Young Stars Classic. The Flames rookies are all here, Flames prospects. They will play three games Friday night, Saturday night, and then Monday afternoon. We'll have all three games for you here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. They'll be streamed on CalgaryFlames.com and the Flames YouTube, and you'll be able to watch and listen to all three games the Flames play here at the Young Stars Classic. And If we're talking about the Flames being at an event like this, that means Flames TV is here. And look who else is joining us. Ooh. Here at the South Okanagan Event Center, kicking off this hour on Flames Talk. It's Brendan Parker of Flames TV with us as well. Hi, Parks.
Good to see you guys. It's been a minute, and it's happy to be back in Penticton, and the whole gang is here. And I'm surprised you guys just didn't record your show on the drive out. Like, it just saved some time. You know, you could have had the evening free tonight.
That's a fair point.
7-hour roundtable.
Yeah, I just pre-taped the whole thing on the drive. Why not? Open the windows down. A little wind noise never hurt anybody.
Full disclosure, the last time that Parks, Vix, and I tried to record something, Ryan Dietrich of the Flames digital crew as well, we were attempting to record a pre-draft edition of the Flames TV podcast. And all of a sudden we got word that something might be happening. I remember sitting there, we were all in your fancy little
swanky
hotel room.
Yeah, that was a penthouse in Vegas,
the Cosmo suite.
Yeah.
So we're sitting down, we got this couch set up,
velour, like, I think it was.
I felt like I was on Logan Paul's podcast with all the—
it was an actual round table, which for the first time
it truly was
round table history.
And next thing you know, I saw Dietz and Parker look at one another with wide eyes. I'm like, oh, something just happened. And then we waited.
Something's going on.
And about 25 minutes later, we found out Andrew Mangiapane was traded to Washington. Yeah. So no trades here. There is a report that Elliot Friedman has reported that Jacob Pelche has signed his contract on this Thursday, a one-year deal, two-way at $800,000. As we're talking right now, though, not official from the Calgary Flames. But we'll get into that a little bit later on in the program and later on in Flames Talk, but want to dive in on the Young Stars Classic with you, because we've all been to this event many times. We've all seen the hockey. We've all seen how this event goes. But Parks, as we were talking before we got things going here, this roster for the Flames is as stacked and full of intrigue as I can remember. Like, we're going back to the Matthew Tkachuk and Sam Bennett, Johnny Gaudreau, Sean Monahan days for the last time that, you know, you've had rosters that were this intriguing that the Flames brought to this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, and part of it is the names, for sure. Part of it is just the fact that, look at the age groups, too. And I think, you know, we were discussing, you know, a lot of times you go through these rosters. I think Vancouver specifically last year had one of the older rosters at the Young Stars, because it was fit with guys who've got AHL experience.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that pro that pro experience is telling in the early days of a young Stars. I mean, like they get one practice for the most part, and then they jump right into game action. You can always tell, you know, how much of a difference those years make in the early part of the Young Stars Classic, especially. But I think for me, you know, when you look at the Flames roster, it's about excitement and it's about youth. And look at all the teenagers, you know, the guys in the teens in terms of just freshly drafted. I mean, 8 of the 10 draft picks from this past June are here. You know, just two guys are missing, the goaltender, the Russian goaltender, and then Trevor Hoskin, yeah, who's off to NCAA, college. Right? So he's not eligible. But other than that, you got 8 newly drafted players. When's the last time you had 8 freshly drafted guys that you're going to get a chance to see wearing Flames jerseys for the first time? I mean, that's unheard of in a lot of ways. And then if you go back even further,
15 players, right? 15 of the 25 are
crazy.
Drafted.
It's crazy. And then the rest are Flames properties, right? Guys that have obviously just been traded in Brustevich and Yushnikov, and they're getting their kind of first opportunities to start fresh from training camp out. And then, you know, then you look at, you still got Sam Hanzik there, and you feel like, oh, that's old news already. But he's a 19-year-old kid coming back for his second NHL training camp. And, you know, getting a chance to speak with him yesterday, I think, you know, this one feels big to him too, because, you know, obviously last year was a trying year with some injuries, and obviously got a chance to play 2 AHL games at the end of the year with the Wranglers. But, you know, it feels like this is kind of a fresh start for him too. And now there's guys coming, there's competition there, and there's going to be some guys pushing. And in talking to Hanzik, he's ready to kind of make a, you know, maybe a different impression this year in Penticton. And I think that, you know, the kind of the read last year was just maybe dipping a toe in, and I don't think he wants to do that this year. I think he wants to kind of make an impact, and I think there's no better chance to start it than here in Penticton.
When you look at this Flames roster as a whole here at the Young Stars, there is just a plethora of players that I personally am super curious to see, whether I've seen them before, whether I've seen them on video. You mentioned 8 of the 10 players drafted just a couple months ago in Vegas are here. So this, to me, is really sort of the amuse-bouche for training camp for a lot of different reasons, whether it's, okay, a guy like Hanzik, like you bring up, okay, this is going to be the first step for him entering more serious, not that it wasn't serious last year, but,
no, but
now you're looking to try and be a pro now,
sure,
as opposed to a player that potentially could have played some games or was going back to junior, or it's really a reintroduction to some players that the Calgary Flames acquired via trade when they had 5 pending unrestricted free agents kind of go out the door, and you look at defensemen like Artem Grishnikov or Yoni Yermo coming in, and then again, you've got the brand new crop that's coming through here. So this event, particularly this year, you have to go back to probably 2016 and Matthew Tkachuk to be as excited about this roster as you were then.
And you know, I think part of it is the types of players too, right? I mean, I think there's always been first-round picks, and guys have come through, and I think Coronado had a lot of intrigue last year because of that same thing you were talking about with Hanzik, because it's about taking the next step. I think when a player knows that, you know, there's a more than 90% chance that they're just going to go back to junior and it's about development, it has a different feel than when you have an opportunity to take another step. And in Coronado's case, it was an NHL job last year, so there was some intrigue about how was he going to start this campaign off to start to prove to management he's ready to start in the NHL. And then I think, you know, with Hanzik, it's the same thing. In his case, you want to push for a job, but, you know, he wants to be a pro hockey player this year. So how does that look? I mean, he's done a lot of work in the offseason. He's put on some muscle, and he's built for pro hockey now, and he's ready to take that step. But let's see it. Let's see it on the ice. It doesn't count until it starts there. And I think for me, though, it's this crop of defensemen. It all started back in July in development camp, and we watched, you know, throughout the practices and the scrimmages. It's not about point production. It's just strictly about the creativity, the high-end skill. These guys, and I'm talking about Zane Parekh, I'm talking about Hunter Brustevich, I'm talking about Etienne Morin, these guys have skill that can bring you out of your seat, and I think that more than anything, especially in this type of format where it's unstructured,
it's a little scrambly,
but I think that benefits a skill game, right? I mean, I think that benefits guys who can kind of adjust, flow with it, play creatively, play on the edge, take chances. That benefits those types of guys in these games like this, and that is right to me in the wheelhouse of those guys that I just mentioned, and I can't wait to watch them go to work with the puck on their stick.
And maybe maybe for once in this tournament, a power play that looks.
Yeah.
And I say that in jest, but it is one of the ongoing themes. Is
you throw 23 guys together and expect them to have chemistry.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, 5-on-5, you can be pretty basic and,
sure.
and structure.
Yeah.
You know, and penalty killing is yes, there's definitely systems that go into it.
But it's work-based.
Exactly.
It's work-based.
The power play is such a structured beast, and you've got so little time to work on it that usually it's just like, what are we watching?
Yeah.
They're so easy to kill. But when you talk about those four D-men and Muse, Moran, and then obviously Brustevich and, and Parekh, like the Flames have the opportunity to have a pretty exciting power play this year.
Well, I mean, you just listed four guys, and, you know, I'm assuming all of those guys are going to see action in all three games. I think there's eight defensemen here, so there's two scratches probably each night. But you got to assume that you're going to see all of those guys. So take your pick what those power plays look like. I don't know that we see necessarily two units with four forwards and a defenseman.
I mean,
you have so much offense out there, you probably just roll with a little bit of the two-man system. And generally it's safer at this time of year anyway because, you know, you're playing guys in their normal positions. But you've got a lot of skill. And the other one I'll throw in there with you guys, and we can kind of bat it around, but Luke Misa was phenomenal at the development. And I know it's hockey in July, and I know you take it with a grain of salt, but he was top-notch in terms of just what he was able to create through all of it. Every time he was on the ice, it was the puck was around him, and you can look at the stats in the OHL. This isn't anything new for him. I mean, the Flames have three guys here on this roster that were in the top 20 in OHL scoring, and Luke Misa was maybe forgotten a little bit in terms of, we'll talk about the D-men, but he was, I think, tied for 18th in points in the OHL. And
in his draft year. So
in his draft,
That includes 19 and 20-year-olds.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, and obviously, you know, he'll, you know, a more likely candidate, go back there and then put up some big numbers again, along with his brother Michael, in you know, I think Michael's in Saginaw. But
projected top 10 pick.
And playing with Zane last year. So lots of connections through the OHL and lots of really impressive numbers. And, you know, the fact that you got three, you know, top 10 point producers on the back end last year in the OHL, it just all adds up to seeing, because that's really what you want in a tournament like this, in a setup like this, create some excitement, obviously get some puck touches, get some feel, but generate some of that confidence. Confidence is what it's all about.
It's definitely the stepping stone to training camp. It's only going to be a 96-hour sort of showcase or tournament, but it really, for a lot of these players, will set the tone for what's to come next week.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's interesting because, you know, in talking to Zane yesterday, he uses the word confidence, and, you know, I don't know if you saw a clip of that, but I think he said something like, I'm usually the most confident guy in the room, and I like to play free. I'll be myself, play with confidence, and I love that. And I think – If I'm a staff sitting up in the second level there, and I'm scouts and hockey management, you know, I just want to see guys come in and perform, like, just to play the way that you have played
play
that got you here.
Play and, your game. Yep.
Yeah. And I think for Zane, you know, he said, like, it's hard to set expectations for your first NHL training camp. And I completely get that. I don't know if anyone can realistically say where they think they'll fit in at this point in a training camp, but you can tell, like, he believes in himself, and he thinks that he can play, you know, at a high level. Now it's going to be just, okay, well, you know, I'll get ready, I'll get my game in order, and he hasn't had much downtime this summer. But then let's just see how it shakes out. Let's see how it feels against some of the vets when we get to main camp.
It's Brendan Parker of Flames TV, Aaron Vickers, Pat Steinberg. This hour of Flames Talk is underway. So last year in the Ontario Hockey League, Zane Parekh, 96 points in 66 games with Saginaw.
Yeah.
He led all defensemen in scoring. Next was Hunter Brustevich, who led all Ontario Hockey League players with 79 assists. He was second in defense scoring in the OHL with 92 points. And then down there at number seven is Henry Muse with the Ottawa 67s, who had 61 points in 65 games. So three of the top seven defensemen in terms of scoring in the Ontario Hockey League. But, guys, I wanted to, and you know, Parks, you bring up you bring up Zane Parekh, the first round pick of the Flames at the draft in Vegas, and you know, you spoke to him in Vegas. You spoke to him on Wednesday before everybody came out here. I remember vividly that chat with him I had on the draft floor in Vegas, where you know he was interviewing me, and it was just like this. You're like, no, yes, he was the most confident guy on the interview. Like, and that I say that with nothing but praise, because it was so. Like, you're just very, very aware of it, and I will always remember him saying, you know, I asked him about, hey, what areas of your game do you need to improve on? He said, yeah, you know, I'm always going to be needing to improve the defensive side of my game, but the Flames didn't draft me for my defense. You're like, okay, like, that's the type of confidence you want, and I don't know about you guys, but Parks, the buzz, and no disrespect to Andrew Bascha, the local kid, or Matvei Gridin, there's a lot of excitement about, or Hanzik and Marin from last year, but it's been a while since there's been a buzz about one player in the organization like there is about Zane Parekh.
Well, and I think since the draft, you've seen a lot of evaluations of the draft come out. That's obviously outside, but you know, I think a lot of people have liked Zane Parekh and what they've seen from him throughout the year, and then obviously where he slotted in the draft and how the Flames got him there. And you know, I think we talked about it at the time, but you look at the type of offense that Craig Conroy and his staff, you know, they went after guys who've got some high-end ability, and they've got a crew of draft picks here, a slew of them that are just sort of like guys that whatever league they were in, you know, were able to fill the net, and they were able to produce. I mean, Matvei Gridin was, you know, UCHL dominant and or USHL dominant, and then, you know, Trevor Hoskin even, and his, like, guys who – wherever they're playing, we're dominant offensively. And I think that more than anything, when you look at just building a franchise, you need guys who have that high end. And not every single guy is going to be able to create like that at the next level, but you have to be able to find those guys who can produce. It's the hardest thing to do. And just talking about that confidence, when you see Parekh, you know, just watch for it. Because if you're on the live stream, maybe you make it out to Penticton, maybe you see some of the scrimmages or the exhibition games, you're going to see a guy who, when you talk about confidence, it's about the idea of, like, he feels like he can pull off anything on the ice. And you can see the spinoramas, you know, the passes that he makes. It's, yeah, you don't have to watch long to see what a guy playing with confidence looks like when you watch Zane Parekh.
Well, you don't lead not just the OHL, but all CHL defensemen in scoring in your 17-year-old season, your draft season, without a little bit of confidence and a little bit of swagger. Yeah. And to your point about the Flames recently looking through the draft list and being, okay, who's productive, who can score, who's a proven scorer, because to your point, hardest thing to do in the game is score. And the Flames selected, if you're including Parekh leading all defensemen, I think it was something like three or four players that led their respective leagues in scoring, Gridin being another. Like, it's just again, just to go back to your point, the point of the game is to put the puck in the other team's net. The Calgary Flames have put an emphasis on skill, and then okay, if you have skill and size, perfect, that's even better. But the first point of contention is, let's identify players that have a wide array of offensive skills, or maybe even just a singular really strong offensive skill that allows them to flourish in that kind of game. And that's when, again, bringing it back to Penticton, that's what makes this tournament so interesting from a Flames perspective, because they have such high-end talent that's going to be able to perform here.
Okay, give me one name. Let's all go through one name that outside of Zane Parekh, and I think that that's going to be the one that even when you take a look at the entire event, I think he might be the name that is buzzed about the most.
Give me one
other prospect that you've got your eye on from the Flames going into these three games starting on Friday night. Vix, you go first.
I appreciate you doing that, because I was worried Parker was going to take mine, but I'm really curious to see William Stromgren in this showcase. He's a guy that's got some pro experience. He's a player that Craig Conroy called the most improved young player year over year in the Calgary Flames organization at development camp. And to see him here, and to just to even seeing him early in the AHL last season to where he was when that season wrapped up, was leaps and bounds. The improvement was significant. And now you're going to get him in a showcase here where he's got the size, he's got the skill, and he's got the confidence to go out there and be a difference maker. So apologies if that's who you were going to take, Parks, but that's who I'm going with.
No, there's a few interesting ways you could go about it, because I think we talked a lot about the D-men, and maybe that's just low-hanging fruit. I think you could go any of those ways, and I'll leave that one one alone for now, because I think we did kind of touch on it a little bit. I really like, and I didn't mention him off the, you filled him in, which is perfect, but Etienne Morin's an interesting one. Yep. Because it's a second go around, but same thing, high end offense. So I'm going to leave the D-men.
Okay.
I'm going to leave the crop of D-men, and I like your Stromgren, because I think that's a nice one in terms of like
so
that second year.
In the second half last year too.
And another guy that you can just, he just flies, right? Like when he gets up to speed, that jersey is flapping in the speed of his skating abilities, and I like that one. But I'm going to go with Luke Misa. I'm really curious about, obviously the size is a little bit different, but honestly, he really jumped out at me, and I think his abilities, his, it looks like his hockey sense, you know, I think for me it's about the intrigue of him, because obviously the high-end offensive abilities are there. How does he fit in now? Because this is going to be his first go-around. This is his first opportunity. But another guy that plays with a lot of poise with the puck, and
a lot of no-look passes.
Yeah, just so much creativity, and just the way that he sees the ice really jumped out to me. But again, it was hockey in July. We saw some obviously watched some highlights in the OHL too, which were impressive. But I want to see, you know, what it looks like out here, you know, against some other teams that are, and other guys who are competitive and want to make an impression just like he does. But I'm going to throw Misa into the mix there.
It's we were talking a little bit before we cracked the mic here. I'm really interested, and I think part of it is because of how the Flames went out of their way to try to get this guy to come to the organization. I'm really interested in seeing, you know, a game and a half from Valtteri Iheanacho, the third goalie, the new goalie in the organization. Both Connor Murphy and Matt Radomski were with the organization last year. They're here as the two other goalies, but Iheanacho, the finished product, they signed out of Sweden in their second league, and Jordan Sigalette had his eye on this guy all year long and was like, hey, like this is a guy we want to bring into the organization. Had to wait until March, had to wait until the new year to get a commitment from him, and then couldn't announce it and couldn't get it all pen to paper until March, and they really think highly. They think they may have found something there. And, you know, the goaltending conversation with Jacob Markstrom no longer in the organization, with Dan Vladar's hip surgery, and with Dustin Wolf's biggest opportunity yet, and you bring in Devin Cooley as well, and then you've got this fourth guy that they also are really, really high on in Iheanacho. I'm curious. He needs to acclimate himself to smaller dimensions in North American hockey, and this is going to be a great opportunity for him to do just that.
Yeah, and it does. I mean, the ranking is always interesting. There's, you know, in theory, two spots in each level, but it's always, you know, the competition now to earn AHL starts too, and that maybe is something of high priority, right?
Yeah.
And how does it all shake up? I mean, obviously the competition has never been deeper in terms of fighting that pecking order right now, and I think, you know, there's only going to be those two spots presumably in the AHL too, and then, you know, obviously Matt Radomski is the third guy here. But if you look at this roster, that's the area of expertise or experience, I should say, for the Calgary Flames. You got like a 24-year-old, 26-year-old, and a 25-year-old, so that's going to be, you know, one of those things where these guys are competing too. And obviously Murphy and Radomski know each other well; they were both here last year. But I think that is going to be, you know, it's a way for Iheanacho to really set himself in the right direction, move in a main training camp feeling good about himself, and obviously at a 24 years of age too. You know, I think probably has a little bit of a leg up in some ways in terms of that pro experience.
Well, and when you're in the American Hockey League, if that's indeed where he starts, you're only a door knock away from an NHL opportunity.
Yep.
So to, again, we talk about whether it's Luke Misa, who this is your first opportunity to really show what you are to the Calgary Flames in a Calgary Flames jersey, or you're William Stromgren, who's been here, or you're an Iheanacho, who's making sort of his Flames debut, if you will. There's a lot on the line for each of these different types of players, a different category of player as to where you are in your career, and that's what makes this event so much fun for me.
Yep.
Well, and Connor Murphy will have something to say about that
too,
right? Because he had a great finish to the year, and as Dustin Wolf ended up getting some extended time in the NHL, that was to the benefit of Connor Murphy,
yep,
who ended up showing pretty well in those opportunities that he got. So now, as much as there's opportunity for Iheanacho, it's Murphy that's going to be,
it's competition.
Yeah, he'll be on that same practice ice saying, you got to get past me first before you move up the depth chart.
Thanks for coming on back to the rink. Good to have you on. Hey, thanks for doing this.
Nice to go for a stroll. We should also shout out Ryan Dietrich and the crew over there. They drove that big truck out yesterday with all the crew and all the equipment. And because of their work, they'll we'll have a live stream to watch over the next few days for every game, which is great.
And that's the I always want to make sure that we point this out. Oilers fans, Canucks fans, Jets fans, thank the Flames. We do not have a webcast and a professionally done web stream like this if it's not for Piz and Dietz and Ed and everybody over there who make sure this thing goes forward. So thank the Flames digital crew for being able to have your web stream, other fans.
Yeah, that's right. It's only the one stream, all right, everybody? No, it's great. And everybody works together. Actually, all the crews bring in their cameras, and everybody supports it, which is awesome. And this is always we look forward to these few days in Penticton because we usually get some good hockey, some good company, and it starts the season off right.
Yep. Should be fun. Thanks for doing this, Parks.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy it.
I'm sure we'll see you around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Highway 97.
I'll be hanging out over here beside you guys more often than you'll like.
Yeah, which we'll like it a lot.
I believe you.
Yeah, exactly.
Check out Brendan Parker on Twitter at BParkerTV. He's on Flames TV. Did I get that right? BParkerTV? Did I nail that one?
I think you're right.
I think
you're right.
I think you should know.
I should. No, it's... Yeah, B. Parker TV.
Yeah, I was pretty sure I heard that one. He'll be on Flames TV. He'll be on some of the web streams. He's here. We've got all kinds of coverage. Flames TV, Flames.com, Sportsnet 960, Flames Talk, and more. Hey, from the Golden Arches comes the Big Arch, the biggest bite on the menu. Now available at participating McDonald's restaurants. 2 quarter-pound, 100% Canadian beef patties with no artificial preservatives or flavors. Sourced from Canadian ranches and farms. The Big Arch is perfectly layered with 3 slices of white processed cheese, crispy onions, pickles, lettuce, slivered onions, and a new tangy, delicious Big Arch sauce. It's more McDonald's to love. Try the Big Arch today.
Anything and everything Calgary Flames. It's all on Flames Talk. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Let's keep it going on this Thursday edition of the program from the South Okanagan Event Center in Penticton, B.C. It's Steinberg and Aaron Vickers along with you for the Young Stars Classic 2024. Lots to get to from Penticton on Flames Talk on this Thursday into Friday, the weekend, and it wraps up on Monday of next week. It is a Thursday, which means it's time to say hello to our goalie guru. We always chat goaltending with our next guest, Kevin Wood from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com in Vancouver on Thursdays, and he joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline right now. Mr. Woodley, how are we doing?
Well, good. We'd be better if we were up there with you in Penticton, where I went the other way today. I went down to Seattle to spend some time with Joey Decord rather than coming up to Penticton for a prospects camp, so I'm there in spirit. I hope that the sun is shining, the weather is warm, the tea times are booked, and the wine is of a perfect vintage and temperature.
Yep, 'tis all outside of the tea times.
Right,
you've hit them all, and boy, it resembled November in Vancouver when we left Calgary, from literally Calgary all the way to boat past Revelstoke. It was like straight on torrential downpour when we drove out. So nice to be in the nice warm sunshine of the Okanagan Valley. It is lovely in the South Okanagan today.
You know, I mean, you guys knew this already, but this is why you can't hit a 9-iron in Kelowna in the off season without running into an NHLer. It's just too nice.
Yep, it's pretty. It's God's country out here. There's no doubt about that. Hey, it's funny. I'm curious if you were to take a look at some of these rosters, whether and maybe if there is anything Flames wise that jumps out at you, feel free. But like anything that you look at on these Young Stars rosters from a goaltending perspective that really intrigues you over the weekend.
No, and I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't had a chance to deep dive the rosters once I wasn't coming up there. My apologies. I should, even for this conversation, should have had a closer look at it. Obviously, the Canucks send theirs to me as a guy that covers their team. You know, so it's basically like Tolopilo, who's going to be in the American League, is going to play one game, and then their other two guys. And here's an interesting one for you. I believe Ty Young is one of those two. 20-year-old in the WHL with the Prince George Cougars, who lost his starting job to Ravensburger was his name, a 16-year-old last year.
Yep.
In Prince George. Now, you only allowed 3 20-year-olds on a roster, and
yeah.
typically you're not going to waste one on a goalie, especially if it's not a stud starting goalie. And so my understanding, and I thought this might be the case, is if they can't find a spot that's a better fit for him in the dub, and that's not easy because he's not the only 20-year-old looking for a spot, I think the Canucks will send him to the ECHL this year in his 20-year-old season rather than send him back to junior hockey if they don't have a spot. And that's probably best for his development. But that's, you know, there's a name that's up there that I think a lot of people associate with the WHL team, and it may be time for him, unless things change in the next couple of weeks, to turn pro.
Let me ask you about, from a Flames perspective, let me ask you, and I want to revisit a conversation we had back in March. And that conversation was about Dan Vladar, who was about to have hip surgery, and the team was about to shut him down for the season. And you talked about the hip surgery that Dan was about to have, why it was becoming more and more common for goaltenders, not just at the highest level, but as you said, kind of turning into a boutique surgery that, you know, sometimes a 13, 14-year-old goaltender might have. And we spoke with Dan earlier this week. He joined us and sat down with us for 10 or 15 minutes and asked him about the recovery. And, you know, he said immediately after the surgery, just in his day-to-day life, he could tell how much different things were, but he didn't know how it was going to go until he got on the ice for the first time. Well, he's been on the ice now for weeks and weeks and weeks, and the first thing that he noticed was he can pop down to the butterfly and there's no pain, no pain at all. And it was an instant relief in that regard. So, you know, it's interesting to hear that from Dan based on the conversation we had with you in March when you broke the surgery down and how it helped Thatcher Demko and other goaltenders at different times. Like, this really is becoming a surgery that maybe almost just becomes necessary for every goalie at high levels of hockey, hey?
Yeah, I mean, the human body, and you'll hear me talk about this a lot, is not designed to butterfly. Like, the hip was not created to internally rotate the way a butterfly forces it to. And so if there are any imperfections in the ball that's a part of that that socket, like that, if it's got any type of, like, not smooth areas, it's going to start to carve out cartilage. It's going to cause issues in that joint. And so it has become, you get the scans done early and identify it. And why wouldn't you? Eric Comrie did this in his draft year, and, you know, people were worried it would hurt his draft status. He had both sides done heading into his draft year because the scan showed that his future was going to be hip surgery. So why wait until you've carved cartilage out of the socket? Why wait till you've done damage to the labrum if the physiology tells you this is going to be a problem? And that's where I use the word boutique surgery. You know, get it done ahead of schedule. And it really can, if you get it early enough. And you got to be careful because it's a very invasive, it's a significant procedure, and it does go the other way sometimes. And sometimes the cartilage is damaged, and they got to do what they call a microfracture surgery, where they actually create small fractures in the hip area of that socket in order to stimulate cartilage growth, because cartilage doesn't heal or regrow on its own. But if you create blood flow by making these microfractures in the bone, a different type of cartilage will grow back. Not as good, but better than nothing. You know, Pecorine had that one, and it took him a lot longer. But if you get it early enough and everything goes well, it really can be like getting a tune-up, getting a lube job on your hips, right? Like,
yeah,
taking your car in and all of a sudden, you know, you get the oil changed and everything works better. And so really happy to hear that that's been Dan's experiences. I kind of intimated a couple of weeks ago, and I mentioned how long he'd been on the ice, that it sounded like things were going really well. Everything, I don't know him well personally, but everything I've heard from those around him is, you know, the kind of person you want to have good things happen to. And so I've talked about the potential I see in him, and you're happy that he's going to get an opportunity to sort of play to that, because it really can be quite freeing once you get that range of motion back, once you get on the ice and you can drop into a butterfly and not feel tightness or tension or a pinch, if you've got an impingement, which it sounds like he had, that even if you can physically get through it, there's a mental roadblock there, a hiccup of, man, is this going to hurt if I do this? Or do I risk making it worse if I do this? Or can I go into this post as hard? Like, it can be really freeing for a goaltender to sort of get to this step that he's in now. And some guys take a little while to get comfortable with it. I remember Jonas Korpisalo 2 years ago in Columbus. It was like there was a new range of movement, and everything felt better, but he had to learn to control it. Having this extended range and this extended width in his butterfly, and it took him till about December to get comfortable with it. Hopefully Vladar getting back on the ice earlier than Korpisalo did that year will speed up that process for him in terms of getting comfortable with being able to do things he probably wasn't able to do before.
Yeah.
Kev, you kind of just stole my next question there, but in talking to goaltenders that have had this procedure, there is a difference in timelines from the mental recovery of dropping down and going, oh, this is going to hurt, to, oh, this is natural again. There's no pain here. There's free range of movement. It varies from goaltender to goaltender that you've talked to?
Yeah, it really can, and I'm trying to remember the exact. I think for Korpisalo, like, it all can also depend on when you get it done, right? Like, so this is where shutting him down early and getting ahead of it allows him to be ahead of the curve. Like, if I'm not mistaken, again, top of my head, but Korpisalo didn't get shut down early, had it in the off season, and so wasn't able to be on the ice as early as Dan was. And so it takes you a little longer to get comfortable with it. Not just comfortable with the range of motion, but if you've been operating in a restricted range of motion up till that point or for any extended period of time, you're initiating movement from a different starting point. So you're activating muscles from a different range of motion, right? So like, if my butterfly is that much wider, the muscles I use to lift my knee and pull my skate in to grab an edge out of that butterfly, it's different depending on how wide my butterfly is. And if it was narrower to compensate for the injury, I'm activating muscles at a different sort of point of extension before I make that push. And so whether it's your dynamic mobility and stretching work, your training, you need to make sure that you're comfortable and powerful and in control in all those new ranges of motion, rather than just jump on the ice, go 1,000 miles an hour, get into an extended range where maybe you haven't stretched to that range or trained to that range, and overdoing it and either creating a one-off injury, whether it's a pull or a tear, or repetitive use injury because, you haven't initiated those movements from that range with those muscles in that point of extension for a long time, and now you need to get used to it. And so the earlier you can get back to that, you know, heading into camp and through camp, the more comfortable your body will be when it's time to go out there and not have to think about it anymore and just play instinctively and not have to be consciously worried, not worried anymore, obviously, but consciously thinking about, you know, soreness or being comfortable that your body can handle it.
Kev, on a little bit of a different note, Jeremy Swayman in Boston, eligible for a contract extension. Have we heard anything on the latest, and when should Bruins fans start to maybe get a little nervous about the contract situation?
Well, I think I always leave the insidering to the insiders, especially when it comes to the contract stuff and out of market. And so I don't know where they're at, but I would think the fact it's not done to this point is at least a little bit of cause for concern. And to this point, I'm not worried. Like, if it gets done in the next couple of days or even next week or ahead of camp, I'm not worried because Jeremy's done everything to this point that he would normally do. He's at the captain's skates, as I understand it, right? He is just like he is doing everything that, you know, that Vladar and Wolf are doing. And here in Vancouver, that I guess I can't say Demko, but the other goalies are doing that. They're out there at the captain's skates. They're taking part like it's a normal season. That break from routine doesn't occur until day one camp if he's not there. And the longer that goes and the more reps he misses with Coach Bob Asenza and the more time, if you get into, you know, not doing NHL drills for a couple of weeks, not seeing any preseason action. It's not like it's going to torpedo a season, but it brings in the risk of a slow start. And I'm sure Jeremy's going to find someone to train with. Wouldn't be surprised to see him go back to Maine. He spends time with his goalie coach from the University of Maine, Alfie Michaud, every summer. He was out there a couple weeks ago training with him. And so he could go back there and get high-quality reps with a coach he trusts and knows and high-quality shooters in a good situation, whether it's there or somewhere else. But you're not getting NHL reps. You're not getting NHL shots. And if you miss NHL preseason entirely, now you're a little bit behind the eight ball, and there's going to be pressure eventually when that new contract is signed. I'm expecting it to be a big number, so there'll be pressure that comes with that. And it just, there's a lot of things that have the potential to start that ball rolling downhill in a negative manner and potentially picking up snow as it goes. Am I worried about Jeremy in particular? Probably less so. He's a kid that he's a no stone unturned kid that has a great head on his shoulders that will take everything in stride. But at the end of the day, he's also never been an unquestioned number one with the pressure of, you know, like there is no Linus Allmark there. Even though I think Korpisalo will have a big bounce back this year in Boston, there, you know, there's everything is new. Well, not everything, but there are elements that are new because now you're the guy. And until you've been the guy, you haven't been the guy.
Yep.
And at the NHL level, that brings different pressures. And so I don't know that it's panic, but certainly you add layers of pressure and you just add a degree of difficulty to a jump that can have an element of difficulty already the longer it goes into training camp. And sort of that, to me, the clock really starts ticking once it's time to report. And if we get a week or two past that and there's still no signs, then you worry about some impact on how he'll look at the start of the season.
Just one more for you, Kev. Kevin Woodley of In Goal Magazine, NHL.com, joining us here on Flames Talk, as he does on Thursdays every week. Just give us a little bit more about what you were doing down in Seattle, going to do a little video work with Joey Decord. Give us a little In Goal Magazine plug for us.
Well, I mean, anytime you get a chance to catch up with Joey Decord, you're doing a service to the goalie world because this is a young man who I've talked about this before. I've had to learn actually to not overvalue it, but I love the guys that are no stone unturned, right? Like that are always looking for something new, that next 1%. And Joey's one of those guys, just really passionate about the position, open about his quest for knowledge. Dustin Wolf is very much like that, right? Like I remember, you know, we did something on a slide board during the pandemic, or it was a slide board that Jordan Sigalette had shown him. He went back that summer, got one in it so he could slide around on his knees. And then we'd done an article about Jeremy Swayman, of all things, ironically, using this little baseball shooting machine that people could use for like batting practice with these, shot these little tiny baseballs and put it close enough, it could be 100 miles an hour. And Dustin reaches out to us and asks about it and buys one. And now he's sliding around on the slide board that he got from Siggy and using the little ball shooting machine so he can train his hands and his movement. Like those types of guys, like that's Dustin Wolf and Joey Decord's that kind of guy. So we went down and caught up with what he was doing this summer for the podcast, and that'll come out this weekend. But then the other thing, and I've done this with Wolf as well, the videos, the pro reads, where you're sitting and watching the videos and trying to understand how they process the game, what they're looking for. And it was really interesting to hear Joey talk about, you know, what's changed over the years as a guy who had to go back to the AHL, you know, one time in a year where I think a lot of us thought he was ready for the NHL, he ended up back in the A, and they went to the Calder Cup, and he talked about all the things he learned. The one of the many takeaways from the hour I spent down there, hour plus I spent down there with him, was how valuable those reps are at, doesn't matter what level, how valuable that experience is.
Yeah.
Getting to know the ins and outs of reads and processing the game and all things that Dustin's going to have happen this year in the NHL on a more regular basis. And Joey's a guy that just goes to school on it. So anytime you get a chance to catch up with him and share that with the rest of the goalie world through In Goal, it's something we jump at, especially when it's only a 2.5 hour drive. And I can't wait to share those breakdowns with everybody else. There's great takeaways that every goalie can learn from. And again, just that process of learning, it was a good reminder to me because it's a process that there in Calgary, you know, Dustin Wolf is still going to be going through this year.
Great stuff as always, Kev. Really appreciate the time. We'll do it again next week as we will be officially into training camps around the league when we chat next week. Have yourself a great weekend. Thanks for doing this as always, hey?
Enjoy Penticton, you guys.
We shall. That's Kevin Woodley. He is our goalie guru from In Goal Magazine, NHL.com. He joins us Thursdays, and he joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. The best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs since 1975. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast, or call them at 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery. As we start to wrap things up this hour, we are coming at you from the South Okanagan Event Center in Penticton, B.C. for the 2024 Young Stars Classic, which gets going Friday night. Flames will kick it off. Flames and Jets on Friday night to kick off the event. Also on Friday, Oilers and Canucks. Then Saturday, it's the Flames and Oilers with an 8:30 Calgary time start. Vancouver will play the Jets on Sunday. And then two more games on Monday to wrap it up. Flames and Canucks, Oilers and Jets. And that'll do it for the Young Stars Classic once again. Awesome to be out here. Thanks to Shan and Cam, our producers, back in Calgary. And we start to wrap things up this hour. He is Aaron Vickers from NHL.com. He's on Twitter at AA Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg, and the Sports Drive wraps up right now. Sports Drive for Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.